Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Today I want to talk to us about laws of the harvest. Laws of the harvest. There are some things that have been set in order, in place, some principles that have been established by God. We may like some of them, we may not like some of them, but they're laws. And we better learn these laws and learn to use them and to work with them for our benefit. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, help us today. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence, your spirit, your love. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, direct us, and challenge us. Lord, I pray that you would let your word, let it find root in us, Lord. Let it produce fruit. We give you the praise and the glory for what you're doing, Lord. Let your spirit have its way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated today. Maybe you heard about that farmer who he thought he was very spiritual, much more spiritual than any of his farmer friends down the road. And so he decided he was going to do something different. He's going to do something different than all the rest. And so he went out and he stood in the middle of his field and he prayed. He said, God, give me a great harvest. And then he declared, Lord, I'm believing for a great harvest of corn this year. But he never planted a seed. Not a single seed. And so week after week, this goes on. And God, I can't wait to see this great crop of corn. No planting, just believing. One of the neighboring farmers stopped by one day wondering what in the world was going on with their friend, and he said, why haven't you planted anything this year? And the farmer replied confidently. He said, oh, I'm trusting God for a miracle. The neighbor told him, man, you're crazy. God gives the harvest, yes, but he expects you to plant the seed. If we're expecting a harvest, I hope that we've been planting some seed. I ran across a video somewhere that they went downtown in this major city and they interviewed people on the street. You ever seen, you know, interviews like that about different aspects of farming and, you know, where does corn come from and beans and milk and how do we get eggs and other products? And it was really scary how many of those people had never given it a thought. They just went to Walmart and picked it off a shelf and went home, and that's as much as they thought about it. And what if Walmart wasn't there? They'd starve to death. They'd never planted a garden. They'd never seen a farm. They had no clue about it. Someone once said, if a farmer knew as much about farming as most Christians know about producing a spiritual harvest, then that farmer would probably never make it through the winter. Isn't that challenging today? How many Christians are believing and they're praying for a spiritual harvest, but they're not planting any seeds? They're clueless about what goes into producing spiritual fruit, and they've never really given it any thought. They just think, well, I try to be a good person, and so that's good enough, and it's going to all work out. But God has established some spiritual laws, and they are just like natural laws. They apply to all of us. No one is exempt from them. If we want a harvest, we've got to respect the laws that produce a harvest. Well, some of you like it. Some of you don't know yet. We'll see. There's a process that every farmer goes through each year to prepare, to plant, to cultivate, to harvest, to get ready for it all over again the next year. If we desire spiritual things, then it's important that we learn whatever it takes to have a spiritual harvest. And so what are these laws that God has established that govern how the harvest comes about? Does anybody here, you want to see a great spiritual harvest? You want to see it happen. Hallelujah. In your life and in your family and in this church and in this area. Come on, I want to see fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. Praise the Lord. The first law is the law of sowing and reaping. Our text in Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So don't be deceived, don't be misled, God is not mocked. We can't go out into the field every day and get all excited about the harvest that's coming if we haven't planted any seed. God is not mocked. But whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's a law of the harvest that we're going to reap what's been sown, what's been planted. You can't go and plant tomato seeds and then pray that watermelons come up. It doesn't work like that. We can't expect cucumbers if we've been planting squash. If we sow bitterness, we can't expect to produce joy and fulfillment. No, there's going to be roots of bitterness. That's what we're going to reap. How many times have we seen it that when somebody allows bitterness in, it doesn't just stop with their life, but it affects all of those around them? It's a law of the harvest. They're reaping what has been planted. If we sow carnality, it's going to produce carnal things, carnal fruit in our life and in the lives of our children. You might say, "Come on, Pastor, don't be so hard on us today." And you know, a little bit of the world is not that big of a deal. But the thing is, it never stays little. It never stays little. It always grows. Carnality is like a bad weed we can't get rid of. When we allow it to take root, it grows and it spreads until it takes over and it produces carnal fruit. Sometimes people think they're getting away with it because they haven't seen the full effects yet. But if that's what's being planted, there's going to be a harvest of what's been planted. If we allow gossip or anger or lust to be sown in our life, that's what we can expect to be harvested. Harvest time is coming, and we're going to reap whatever we've been planted. Come on, somebody, today. We've got to plant some things that are worth harvesting. We've got to plant some things that are going to bless our family, that's going to bless our church. Oh, if we sow seeds of righteousness, Hosea 10 and 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." If we'll plant the good seed of righteousness, there will be a harvest of mercy. If we will seek the Lord, he is going to shower his righteousness on us. Somebody needs to hear this today. Come on, it's not always easy to be faithful. Sometimes we want to do anything but be faithful. Come on, but if we'll determine, "I'm going to be faithful no matter what, I am going to reap the blessings of faithfulness." It's not always easy to pray. It's not always convenient to pray. It's never what our flesh wants. Oh, but if we'll do the hard work of building a consistent prayer life, come on, there will be fruit that's produced by prayer. That's the seed that we're planting. Hallelujah. How much are we praying? Come on, can we be honest with ourselves? If the only time we're praying is once or twice when we come to church throughout the week, then we are missing the opportunity to plant seeds every day in our life that are going to produce a spiritual harvest. And later on, we get down the road and, well, I sure wish I'd have planted some seed. I sure wish I would have prayed, because now I need the Lord. And now I'm in a circumstance where there's trouble and there's problems all around. And I wish I'd been praying all week. And we pay the price of not planting the seed. Come on, we've got to make time to pray. Besides just church services, we've got to plant some righteous seeds. Some righteous seeds. We don't want to wait until it's too late, but plant some seeds of prayer. Plant some seeds of fasting. Plant some seeds of reading and studying the Word of God. Plant some seeds of worship. I want to plant some things that are going to grow up into spiritual fruit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Feeding our flesh produces corruption. Did you know that? But feeding the Spirit produces eternal life. If we're planting seeds that satisfy our own sinful nature, that produces death and destruction. But if we'll live to please God, we will reap eternal life. Come on, is anybody thankful today for the mercy of God, the blessings of God, the favor of God? Hallelujah, God's been so good to us. Sometimes people come to church and all week long they've been sowing to their flesh. They've not prayed. They've not given God any time. And thank God he has mercy on us. He has mercy on us. Thank God for the moving of his Spirit in a service like this one here today. And we can feel his touch and his anointing when we come to church. And maybe we haven't prayed this week. And maybe we haven't sought the face of God. But God has mercy on us. And we feel his love and his blessings. And we get a little shot. But sometimes people get to be spiritual junkies, where they go all week long without doing anything spiritual, but, oh, now I got to get to church because I got to get my fix on Sunday. And if something comes up and they happen to miss a Sunday, they're really in trouble, because now they're going another week without anything spiritual in their life. I want to tell you, God has something deeper than just Sunday to Sunday. God has something deeper, that if all week long we'll be planting spiritual seeds, spiritual things, praying every day, living right, not filling our spirit with the junk of this world, but reading our Bible, listening to godly music, thinking godly thoughts, then when we come to church on Sunday, we don't have to clear out all the weeds. We don't have to clear out all the junk. No, but there's already a blessing on the way, because we've been planting spiritual fruit all week long. Hallelujah. Let's be planting prayer and faithfulness and giving and service to the Lord and holiness and separation from the world and godly habits, those seeds of righteousness. Our actions are seeds. Our habits are seeds. Our words are seeds. Our thoughts are seeds. What have we been planting lately? We can't plant one thing and expect to reap something else. There's a law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. There's another law of the harvest. It's the law of multiplication. The law of multiplication. We reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. If we plant a single apple seed, what does it produce? It produces a tree that produces hundreds of apples, each one having even more seeds that will produce more trees. Plant one kernel of corn. What does it produce? It produces a plant with several ears of corn, each with an average of 800 kernels. That's a pretty good return. One seed doesn't just produce one more seed. No, one seed produces a harvest. That's why one lie leads to more lies. That's one response in anger brings more anger. One act of compromise leads to bigger and bigger compromises. One act of disobedience, it can multiply into a lifestyle of disobedience. The first part of Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." It's the law of multiplication. We reap more than what we sow. Why, oh why, would we ever want to keep planning things that are going to produce multiplied pain and hurt in our life? More and more struggle and suffering. More and more brokenness and sin. More and more condemnation and separation from God. It's time today, somebody let the law of multiplication start working in your favor. Come on, it's been hurting you long enough. It's time to turn it around and let it start helping you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's not that big of a deal, Pastor. It's just one cigarette. It's just one drink. It's just one night out. It's just one little thing of the world. But I tell you, those sins, they multiply. They grow into strongholds. They grow into strongholds, and people wonder, how did I ever get so bound? It's the law of multiplication. It grew and it multiplied. Oh, don't ever let those kind of seeds be planted, because they'll produce strongholds. It's going to produce chains and bondage. Don't even let one little seed in. Don't even allow one little compromise. It's not worth the harvest that it's going to bring. Praise the Lord. Oh, but look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." The smallest of seeds. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's tiny. The mustard seed. Oh, but when it's grown, look how big it gets. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus said, it may seem just like a small thing, but there's power. It's the power of multiplication. Oh, come on. It may seem like it's just kind of a small thing to pray for 5 minutes before school every day, but keep planting that seed and you watch it grow. It may seem like it's a small thing to read just a couple chapters in our Bible every day, but you keep planting that seed, it's going to produce something great. Come on, is it really that important to be faithful in my giving to the Lord, giving the tithe, giving the offerings? You can ask those who have been faithful over the years. It may have just been a little thing, but I tell you, God blessed it and God multiplied it. Oh, come on, story after story after story. We're never able to outgive the Lord. Hallelujah. This is one of the most exciting laws of the harvest, because such little things can have such a great impact in our life. Today, if you've had the law of multiplication working against you, it's time to stop that. Start planting good seeds. Make the decision, I'm going to change some things today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start planting some things that are worth harvesting in my life and in my family, and I'm going to let God multiply it. There's another law that goes along with this, the law of proportion. The more we sow, the more we reap. It's a law. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So there's two ways to sow here. We see those that sow sparingly and those that sow bountifully. Sparingly is to be stingy. Trying to cut corners, trying to do the minimum. What's the least amount I can get by with? If that's how we want to be, we'll sow sparingly. We're going to also reap sparingly, though. It's the law of proportion. I'll tell you, it is what it is. I can remember growing up, my dad had a little hobby of farming. Never really made money at it. I tried to make some money at it, and I think my dad put more money into it than what I was paid. But I remember one time we were planting corn, and he had this planter, and you'd load the seed in the planter, and then you'd pull it behind the tractor, and it would plant the rows of corn. Well, a certain corner of the field, trying to put all the corn in there, it seems like something happened, and you know, all the corn overflowed or something, and it gets out all on the ground there. It's too much to pick up, so you just kind of leave it, kind of covered up a little bit. Boy, I want to tell you, in that corner of the field, there was corn everywhere. There was corn everywhere. The deer, they love that corner of the field because it wasn't just sparingly right there. It was bountifully, and it produced a bountiful harvest. Amen. I'm thankful today for the Word of God, but if we can learn to use these principles, and in certain key areas when it comes to spiritual fruit, if we can say, hey, I'm not going to just kind of scrimp here, and I'm not going to kind of go sparingly. I'm not going to be stingy on this. But this is a principle in the Word of God, and I'm going to sow bountifully because I'm looking forward to a bountiful harvest coming one day. Reading there on in 2 Corinthians, verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So we all have to decide in our heart, what kind of giver am I going to be, sparingly or bountifully? I don't know what my parents did. I don't know what they did. Or maybe it was just God put something in my heart from an early age. But I've always been on that team that says, you know what? I want to give as much as I can for the work of God. I don't want to just do the minimum, but Lord, help me to go above and beyond. And I can testify to this church today that God has blessed my life over and over and over again. This principle works. This principle works. You cannot outgive the Lord. You cannot outgive God. Start putting Him first in every area of your life. Make sure you're giving your tithe. Make sure you're giving your offering. Put Him first in your finances. And then you watch. You stand on the promises of the Word of God that says, I will make a harvest in a return that comes to you. I want to sow bountifully, and not just in giving, but we can put this principle to work in our time and our talent and our treasure. We go above and beyond, not just the minimum, but we try to do our best. When we're not stingy with the kingdom of God, that kind of sowing bountifully determines what kind of harvest we're going to have. It's the law of proportion. I feel this today. I know this might be a little bit different than normal Sunday message, but I feel this today. Somebody here needs to prepare for a great harvest. Somebody needs to prepare for a great harvest. I believe you've been sowing seed, and maybe some of you, you're getting the message here today, and you're about to sow a great amount of seed, and God's going to bless it in whatever area it might be. It is a law. He will bless it. It has been established, the law of proportion. Then there's the law of time. Everybody say time. We reap in a different season than when we sow. Go down to the store and get you a pack of seeds. Let's just say sweet corn. Does that sound good? I'd like to have some sweet corn. Get a planter and put some soil in it, plant the seed. Give it a little water and go set it out in the sun. Surely by dinner time, we're going to have some sweet corn to eat, right? That's how it works, right? You plant the seed and then the harvest comes right away, right? Oh, wait. The back of this pack of seeds, it talks about two seasons. Planting and harvesting. Apparently, they're different seasons. And it says it could take up 1 to 100 days from planting until it's ready to harvest. Uh-oh. I don't guess we're having sweet corn for dinner. Not from what we plant today. It's the law of time. It's the law of time. In Genesis 8:22, God spoke to Noah after the flood, and he said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. There are seasons. We all go through seasons. And God promises that's not going to change. We're crazy if we think we'll go plant corn this morning and eat it today for dinner. That's crazy. But when it comes to spiritual things, how often do we live our life expecting to plant and harvest in the same season? And then we get mad at God. God, I prayed a prayer this morning. Why hasn't it come to pass yet? But we haven't given it any time. It hasn't happened as fast as we want it. But the Bible talks about in due season. In due season. We read one place in our text today, Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's going to come in due season. We don't sow and reap in the same season. The harvest never comes immediately after we plant the seed. No, it's going to come in due season. Why does God work like that? Why can't it be right away? Why can't we have what we want and right when we want it? Because God uses seasons. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a purpose to the season. Come on, I've come to tell somebody today, this season you've been in, maybe you're tired of the season. Maybe you want to get to the next season. Maybe you're enjoying the season. I don't know. Seasons come and seasons go, but there is a purpose to the season. Don't miss the purpose of the season God has you in. Let's not miss what God is trying to do in this season. If we miss the purpose of where we're at right now, we could abort the harvest. Come on, if we miss this purpose of where we're at right now, we could abort the promise that God has for the next season. Why don't farmers go and dig up the seed every day to check and make sure it's growing? Because they would destroy the plant. But that's what we do spiritually sometimes. We plant today and we want to see the results tomorrow. And if it's not happening fast enough, then we get mad at God and we pray. And sometimes things don't change immediately. And the enemy likes to tell us, well, God's not hearing your prayer. Come on, we've been living faithful, but why haven't we had a breakthrough yet? And just because we don't see it yet, I've come to tell somebody today, it does not mean that God is not doing it. The seed is working. Growth is happening. It may be underground, but you can trust the law of the harvest. There will be a harvest. You just keep planting the seed. You keep waiting on God. You keep trusting Him. You keep thanking God for the season you're in. There will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. You will reap what has been sown. You will harvest what has been planted. Just keep on planting. Just keep on trusting God. Keep on believing. Keep standing on His promises. There will be a harvest. Praise the Lord. If the seed has been planted, there's going to be a harvest. There will be. It's a law that always holds true. We're going to reap in due season at the right time, in the proper season, when everything's ready. Remember the law of time and trust the process. We reap in a different season than when we sow. And finally today, we get to where I actually started in preparing this. The law of perseverance. The law of perseverance. We reap only if we faint not. We reap if we faint not. Galatians 6 and 9 again. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We reap if we don't quit. If we follow the laws of the harvest, we are promised that we will reap. The only way to miss out on the harvest is to give up. How many people give up in the season right before the harvest comes? It could have been that one more step of faith would have got them there. One more prayer, and there would have been a breakthrough. One more act of obedience would have turned things completely around. And the enemy knows it. And so somehow he does everything he can to convince us to quit. I've come to tell you, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Come on. I'm talking to some people today. You've been planting seed. You've been trusting God. You've been faithful year after year. You're trusting the Lord for a great harvest. Don't let the enemy come in and steal it right before it's time. Don't let the enemy convince you to quit right before the miracle. Don't you dare. Don't you dare give up. Trust the law of the harvest. We shall reap if we faint not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, sometimes, this is an extra one, but sometimes we reap what we didn't sow. But somebody else sowed some things. In front of our house, there's a flower that pops up. Kind of weird, different times throughout the year, all of a sudden you'll see there's this flower there. I didn't plant it. I don't even know for sure what it is. It's not in a place where I would put a flower. It's kind of weird. But at some point in the past, somebody planted that thing. And they thought it was pretty. I don't even think it's that pretty, but somebody thought it was pretty. And so they planted that seed. They planted that bulb, whatever it is, and it's now still producing year after year. Now, this can work for us again or against us. There could have been some things that were planted in our family tree that have affected us, whether it's better or for worse. Sometimes there's people close to us that they affect us with the seeds they're planting, for good or for evil. What about Adam and Eve? We're all reaping the sin that they passed along to their children. And we have to work to overcome that sin nature. If you're working today to overcome some things in your family tree, I want to say, keep at it. Keep at it. You can change what's passed down to the next generation. Come on. There's a power in the seeds that you start planting to turn things around. And not only would it bless your life, it'll bless those that come after you. It'll bless those that are around you. When God spoke to me about becoming the pastor of this church, I've told this story a few times, but God actually talked to me 4 months before we came here, and we were pastoring in Texas, and I've shared the verses in John chapter 4, one verse specifically, verse 35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest." And God spoke those words to me exactly 4 months earlier. And of course, the name of our church at that time was Harvest, and it was a great confirmation that the Lord gave me. But verse 37 says, "And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Sometimes we do reap some things that we didn't sow. But somebody somewhere along the way planted some seed. Sometimes you look at somebody's life and you wonder, why are they so blessed? Why is it just like everything they touch, it just flourishes? Why is the favor of God upon them? Don't think that they're just maybe so great in themselves. And maybe if it's you, don't think, well, I'm just somebody special. No, but along the way, there were people that planted seeds of righteousness, seeds of faithfulness, seeds of godliness. In order for there to be a harvest, there has to be seed that's planted along the way. Thank God for those who were faithful to plant some seed, to sow blessings. Thank God for those that went into this church that now we've got promises because of what was planted maybe years before. Thank God for pastors and preachers and saints of God that have planted good seed into this church over the years. And I just stand on the word of God. There's a law of the harvest that it declares there's going to be a reaping from all of the seed that's been sowed. It's the law of sowing, and it's the law of reaping. You can stand on it. You can bank on it. I feel to tell somebody today, you don't want to miss the harvest. You don't want to miss what God is doing. Don't forget about all the seed that's been planted over the years. It may seem today like there's not a lot of results. Sometimes it seems like it's taken a long time, but there is a law of the harvest. It always holds true. We reap what's been sown. Let's keep working. Let's keep reaching. There is a great harvest ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The law of perseverance. James 5 and 7 says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." Be patient, brothers and sisters. Be patient. Keep showing up. Keep sowing bountifully. Keep planting good seed. Keep trusting God's plan. Keep declaring faith. Keep believing. Just as the farmer waits for that precious crop, trusting the laws of the harvest. You know, I feel like farmers are some of the most relaxed people there are. I really do. This is not on my notes, but it's just coming to me right now. I've never really met a farmer that's anxious. You know, I've never met a farmer that he's just so nervous about it. They're calm. Because they live by the law of the harvest. They put the seed in the ground. They have to work the soil. They have to keep the weeds out. They have to fertilize and all those things. But they just know in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, however long it is, they're going to have a harvest. It should be the same way with us as children of God. If we'll just live by the word, if we'll keep being faithful, If we'll keep trusting God, if we'll keep putting Him first, everything's going to be okay. God's going to make a way. God's going to bring us through. He's going to supply our needs according to His riches and glory. He's going to save our soul. Come on. Today, when you learn to trust the law of the harvest, you can put your life in God's hands and say, God, I'm going to put everything I've got into Your hand. Have Your way in me. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the laws of the harvest. We shall reap if we persevere. That farmer's waiting for the precious crop, and so can we. Now, I want to tell you, we can't do anything about last year's harvest. Sometimes we might look back at previous years and be like, man, we really missed it there. I really didn't plant enough seed that year. Or I really planted some bad seed that one year. And you can't do anything about last year's harvest. Have you heard people talk about the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago? You know? What's the second best time? Right now. Right now. My wife's been talking to me about these certain trees. And I kind of hesitate because, man, you're going to plant them, they're going to be small. But if I'd have done it when she first told me about it, those things would be bigger now. I need just, let's plant some trees this week. How about, you know? When we look at our life and we notice that we're missing some things that we should have been planting a long time ago. I should have been praying like I know I needed to. I should have been faithful to church like Pastor preaches all the time. I should be serving in the kingdom of God. I should be doing this. I should be doing that, whatever it is. But for whatever reason, we didn't do it. Stop beating yourself up on it today. Just determine today is the next best time to start planning. Today is the next best time to determine I'm going to be faithful. Today is the next best time to start sowing some seed that's worth harvesting. Amen. In closing today, Psalm chapter 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, collecting that harvest, bringing the harvest with him. Some of you have been sowing some seeds, and it's been with weeping. God save my children. God working. Work in this city. We need revival. Lord, bless that person. They're bound and they're addicted. Lord, they don't have any hope, but God, do a work. You've been sowing in tears, going forth weeping and bearing that precious seed. And I've come to tell you, keep up the good work. It takes somebody to sow in tears. It takes somebody to carry a burden. It takes somebody that says, you know what, this is not a fun job to do, but I'm going to be a faithful person in prayer, and I'm going to be a faithful person even when it's not easy to be faithful. I'm going to sow in tears. Keep it up, because you're going to reap in joy. You're going to reap in joy. Hallelujah. You're going to come again with rejoicing, bringing the harvest with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you. You can live by these laws of the harvest. Just as they work in the natural, they work in the spiritual. Let's not be ignorant. Let's not be ignorant today. I don't want the farmer to know more about the natural harvest than what we as Christians know about the spiritual harvest. But let's learn and let's work with these laws and let's stand on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. These altars are open today. Is anybody hungry? Is anybody desiring to see a great harvest in your life? Come on, is there anybody you want to make a difference? You want to start planting some good seed? You want to start putting some good things in the ground because you want to see a great harvest? Not even maybe just for you, but for your family and for your kids and for those people around you. Lord, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to take it to heart today. I'm going to do what the preacher talked about. I'm going to start planting some good seeds in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, Lord.